And Jerry Brown came to you over WBAI in New York. And Jerry will be back again tomorrow from 7 to 8 p.m. here on listener-supported radio, WBAI in New York. And now it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, they live on for the best.
And a very good evening to one and all. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. The program is Off the Hook. We're with you every week from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday nights, talking about the latest in high technology and the dark age, which is almost upon us. Here with Walter tonight, who went with me to visit Bernie S. in prison. Walter, is your microphone working?
Hello, testing.
Oh, good, okay. We went to see Bernie S. Bernie's on the phone with us now. Bernie, are you there? Bernie, oh. You know what? I forgot to press a button. Bernie, are you there now?
Hello?
Yes. Okay.
I heard a beep.
Oh, you heard a beep, huh?
I don't know whether that was your end or my end.
We generally don't beep on this end unless there's a reason for it.
Well,
and there's no reason to beep.
Well, we could be recorded, but I'm aware of that anyway.
Okay. Well, it was good seeing you this past weekend, although I have to say, going to a prison like that is always a bit disheartening. Walter's here with us tonight as well. He also went on the journey.
Hi, Walter.
Hiya, Bernie.
Hey.
Has anything changed since we saw you last?
Well,
that cough is nothing new. I can tell you that.
No, I'm relapsing from this prison flu or whatever I have.
Now, there's a flu epidemic in the prison. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, about 100 of the 500 inmates here have come down with particularly nasty infection. I don't know whether it's bacterial or viral, but it's got a lot of very uncomfortable symptoms like extreme headache, congestion, a lot of coughing, diarrhea, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
It's very unpleasant, and the past 3 days I haven't been given my medication because the nurses said that she doesn't have time to give it to me. So I filed, you know, whatever official remedies I'm supposed to file, paperwork, but you know, by then I couldn't get sicker. I don't know. But it's not unusual for this health system. The health services here have been recently privatized. They have an outside company coming in to do this, and there's been recent newspaper articles here in this area quoting people who were recently fired from this private company, saying that they're cutting back on medications in order to save money so they can increase their profits. So I don't know whether this is not getting my medication, which was prescribed by a doctor last week, has anything to do with that or not, but bottom line is I feel like shit.
Well, the thing is, when you're in prison, all kinds of nasty things can happen.
You just don't have any control over anything, and that's what's really frustrating.
When we went there to visit on Sunday, we got there shortly before 6:30. By the time they actually let us in to see you, though, it was about 8:15, and we only got half the time we were supposed to get because of that. That kind of thing is kind of common, unfortunately, in a prison environment. They're always jerking you around every which way.
I had gotten prior written authorization to visit with you guys for an hour, but you know, apparently that's not worth anything because that's not what happened.
So, uh-huh.
I'm curious about after you left. Were you searched as you left the prison?
No, we were not searched at all.
Ah.
Yeah.
I was. I didn't leave the prison, obviously, but I was forced just a bit to a strip search.
Is that common? Do they do that every time?
I don't know, but I was taken into a small room after you guys left, and was asked to remove all my clothing, and then the guard put on rubber gloves and proceeded to search me.
Now, have you had a chance to see the article that appeared in the Philadelphia City paper?
No, I haven't. You had mentioned its existence to me, but I don't know what it says.
Well, then this is your lucky day, because I'm about to read it over the air.
Oh, great.
And you can actually listen to it. And I should say that I've spoken to a number of reporters. Interest is finally starting to catch on a little bit on this story.
Mm.
And on the way over here, I was also listening to an old show of ours from 1990, where the Steve Jackson case was just beginning to hit the news. And one of the main topics we were talking about was, why hasn't the press written anything about this? Well, as you know, the Steve Jackson case now is one of the most famous cases ever to have involved hackers in the Secret Service. So I see that as a bit of optimism. You know, the press hasn't learned anything. Okay, that's a given. But it's quite possible that you'll get the press you deserve on this story at some point. There's at least one person that I'll tell you about off air that wants to contact you, but we'll talk about that a little later. This story is called Bernie Burned, the never-ending saga of Ed Cummings, a.k.a. Bernie S., lands the computer hacker behind bars again. This is written by Scott Farmilant of the Philadelphia City Paper. Fresh off a 7-month prison stint, a smiling Ed Cummings dropped by City Paper last October to chat about his bad karma, sharing a prison cell block with dumb fella John Stanfa and crimes. Cummings grinned despite his run-in with Secret Service and Haverton cops, who earlier nabbed him for having equipment that can potentially defraud telephone companies. Cummings, the first person ever sent away under a new federal law, even though he owned his stuff before Congress outlawed it, seemed glad to put prison behind him. Suddenly, Cummings blurted a warning. Be careful what you do today. Tomorrow, they can go back and charge you. Instead, Cummings has learned about paying for yesterday's acts, for as Cummings discovered, the law can strike twice. 3 months after tasting freedom, Cummings, known as Bernie S. in Philly hacker circles, is behind bars. The odds say Cummings will not get out anytime soon. Northampton County Judge Jack A. Panella locked Cummings up on January 12th on $250,000 bail for violating probation. On March 5th, Panella will decide whether to put Cummings away for upwards of 2 years for a 1993 misdemeanor charge. Under state law, the Secret Service / Haverton charge constitutes an automatic probation violation. The hacker community and Cummings' lawyer are extremely angry at the second jail term, blaming the Secret Service for Cummings' latest woe. This is a case based on a sick vendetta by a government agency, wrote Emmanuel Goldstein, publisher of the Long Island-based 2600 Hacker magazine, in a recent internet posting. Cummings is in jail with murderers and rapists. The conditions are appalling. The Secret Service has taken more than a passing interest on this case, says attorney Ken Trujillo. For them to continue to claim that he's dangerous when they know he's not dangerous, that's absurd. Neither of the two leading investigators, Secret Service agent Thomas Varney or Haverton detective John Morris, would comment, but one law enforcement source, speaking on conditions of anonymity, both defends and questions Cummings' treatment. Do we consider Cummings dangerous, says the official. I think the question is, dangerous to who? What do you do with somebody who flagrantly violates the law? Do we just say more probation? He was given a break the first time and he didn't take it, so what's the answer? Who knows? The source adds that Cummings' personal journals suggest, quote, totally unrelated felonies, unquote, which are still being investigated and will be revealed on March 5th. Trujillo denies this assertion. There's a lot of stuff in those journals, but nothing that would constitute a crime, says the lawyer. I don't remember any confessions being in there. Moreover, Trujillo says there is no evidence that Cummings is a threat to hurt anybody or to flee. At a January 26th hearing where Panella dropped bail to $100,000, Varney and Morris labeled Cummings as dangerous because he had the Anarchist Cookbook, which tells how to make bombs, obtains material showing how to create a false identity, plus includes the 1983 Secret Service code name for President Reagan, which Cummings found in an old Monitoring Times article. Varney also said Cummings had material resembling C4 plastic explosives. It was, in fact, material used to mold dentures. Varney admitted Cummings did not have guns or explosives, had not issued threats, and did not harm anybody since his October release.
Forever, for that matter.
While Varney isn't saying why he portrayed Cummings as dangerous, confiscated photos might shed some light on why the Secret Service is after Cummings. The pictures taken by Philly hackers and circulated throughout that community show Secret Service agents on an undercover assignment. One shot reveals an agent picking his nose. The photos have aired on Fox 29. In any event, it seems doubtful that Cummings will escape more prison time at his March 5th hearing. Sources familiar with Northampton's courts say probation violators are routinely jailed. Further, Pinella is described in Northampton legal circles as Father Time. Ed fully expected to wind up in jail on the probation violation, sighs Trujillo. He's not a happy guy. Cummings currently sits in a maximum wing of an eastern Pennsylvania jail housed with high bail prisoners, including criminals like the notorious Joseph Henry, who sexually mutilated a woman before strangling her with a slinky. Cummings reports cold and filthy conditions at the aged facility built right after the Civil War, including roach infestation. Those following Cummings' case pray the public sits up and takes notice. The only positive development is that more people are slowly starting to realize what's happening, says Goldstein. Yes, I got the final word on that one. Any major problems with that article?
Well, I'd like to know who this anonymous law enforcement source is who said that my diary describes felonious acts. I'd like to know what that is, frankly. But...
Well, I have a feeling.
We'll find out on March 5th.
I have a feeling everyone will find out just what this anonymous person is talking about, as I guess they disguise his voice or whatever in the courtroom.
Whatever it is they're talking about, apparently it wasn't serious enough for them to warrant filing any charges against me.
No, apparently not.
And I didn't write anything about. I remember when I took notes in my journal. I only really kept it for a couple of years, or in the early 90s, 91, 92. I didn't write about anything technological. It's just basically my. Well, very personal thoughts and feelings, in relationships and just in life in general. And I was going through a hard time in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote down things, a lot of just random thoughts. I guess if anyone were to take excerpts from someone's diary over a period of time and present them out of context, you could paint almost anyone as an antisocial thinker, perhaps. But in any case, we'll see what they have. The store, but whatever it is, they didn't charge me with anything related to what was in my diary, so it can't be that illegal.
Don't forget, Bernie, the point of this hearing is not to charge you with anything more, it's to present you as a danger to society so they can lock you up for the maximum amount of time. If they can make you sound like you're some sort of bizarre introvert that has weird deviant fantasies of some sort, they will do that. And it should be a very interesting hearing. I want to point out that people can attend this hearing. It's not very far from New York City either. It's only about an hour or so out of New York City on Route 78 heading west in eastern Pennsylvania. And the hearing starts at 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday, March 5th.
Well, it's supposed to start at 8:30, but as you're aware, you waited several hours for the other one to start. So
that's true. We had a pleasant time drinking coffee from the vending machines and trying to figure out who the feds were that were lurking about the building.
I'm going to have to call you back since I just heard our 30-second warning.
Okay.
Call back on the same number, I guess.
Okay, we'll await your call.
Okay.
All right, take care. Sounds pretty bad there. He's definitely got a bad case of the flu and they're not doing much to help him, that's for sure. He mentioned how he was having trouble getting cough medicine. Walter, I believe you heard part of that, right?
Yeah, there was the story about the nurse who just didn't bring him this cough medicine.
She didn't have time to bring him cough medicine. And he even offered to go downstairs, right, you know, with her to get it himself. But, of course, they don't do things like that.
She didn't have the time.
That's not permitted. So, he's there coughing up blood, I'm afraid, various things like that. It just each week it gets worse and worse. And I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know how bad this is going to be. We were talking, Fiber's here now, we were talking about things that happened 6 years ago. I was listening to an old radio program, which is about to be put up on our FTP site, in fact, so you can download it. But that was right about the time when the Steve Jackson Games saga was beginning. And also the Frack magazine had just been shut down. The emergency 911 document had just... made its debut into the public eye. We were talking then about how, first of all, the press is noticing this, but we were also talking about the Secret Service and how incompetent they were, how they weren't able to understand what it was they were doing. I believe, Fiber, they had come to your house at that point and said that you had caused the AT&T crash in Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, that was in late January of 1990.
Uh-huh.
They had accused me and possibly two other people of having some role in the crash of the AT&T long-distance network.
Okay, Brony's coming back in.
Call from a county jail. The call is from Bernie S. To accept this collect call with a push-button phone, please press 2 now.
Let's accept this one by voice.
To reject this collect call,
only because that's
press
fun.
8 now. To accept this collect call, press 2 now. If you still wish to accept this collect call after the tone, please say yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
The tone. Yes.
Thank you for using
TeleLink. I was waiting for the tone.
You gotta move faster than the tone. Sometimes the tone doesn't come at all.
Well, it worked this time.
All right. Thank God for that.
I recognize Fiverr's yes in the background there. Hello, Fiverr.
Hey, how are you, Ed?
So we were just talking about the Secret Service back in 1990 when they raided Steve Jackson and Craig Nidor from Frack Magazine. Back then, we were concerned with how inept they were. They had accused Fiverr of crashing AT&T on Martin Luther King Day. Today, it's a different matter. The Secret Service is not incompetent. It's that they're vindictive, that they intentionally want to cause someone harm, and they want to keep somebody locked away, and they understand fully what they're doing. That's a major difference that has happened in 6 years.
Yes, in some ways, I do think they are technologically inept, but they know enough to know better. They know enough to know better, and they're deliberately trying to use what I would call official oppression to persecute people who experiment or who they would call hackers, just to have a boogeyman to blame, I guess. I don't know.
And that would be you.
Well, or anyone else. I mean, I don't consider myself alone in any of this. I'm certainly not the first person, and I don't think I'll be the last person who's charged with and sent to prison for doing something that hasn't victimized anyone and simply playing with technology. But in any case, it's just a sad state of affairs. And when people who have not a shred of violence in their background or hurting anyone or anything like that or victimizing anyone.
Well, what you say is very true. You won't be the last one. I think a lot of these civil liberties groups are missing the boat when they look at these cases. They're not seeing the importance of the individual cases. Rather, they're flocking around the Communications Decency Act, the easy targets. You know, the ACLU filed papers the day after the CDA was passed. Great, you know. And in fact, that law has been temporarily suspended while there are hearings held on the matter. And we all know that the abortion clause is going to be thrown out because there's no way that kind of thing can be upheld where they make it illegal to talk about abortion on the internet. These are all easy targets, but the real war is won on the hard ones, on the hard individual cases where not everybody understands the relevance. And those are cases like yours, and I'm sad to say I don't know of a single civil liberties group that has taken an interest in this. And the thing is, listening to Steve Jackson 6 years ago, he said the same thing. He was saying how no civil liberties group, and this was before EFF existed, he had contacted the ACLU, and they just didn't see any interest in the case. Well, you know, I'm sure they wish that they could go back in time and take a bit more of an interest in that case, seeing as how it's very significant in the development of the electronic age. I think they'll have the same regrets over your case when it's all said and done.
Well, it'll be water over the dam at that point, but there just seems to be no, or very little, in the way of any kind of public lobby or voice that has any power speaking up for people who experiment or who hack. It's not a popular stand to take up, but you know, I think it has some merit, and the ACLU, I guess, has larger issues that they'd like to focus their energies on.
Yeah. The usual antics over there, right?
I'm sorry?
It's the usual antics over there at the prison, right?
Yeah, well, I guess you can hear the background noise. I'm being told by a guard that I need to be locked up. They're close to 8:30. They tend to lock up, but they're going to lock us up early tonight for some reason. Probably because I'm on the phone.
Maybe because they all want to watch NYPD Blue at 10. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't have a television.
No, but the guards do.
That's true.
Okay, well, Bernie, don't get in trouble or anything on our behalf, but we will keep in touch. And you have not gotten much mail from our listeners, have you?
I got a couple of letters from a couple of kind people last week. Thank you very much.
Can you quickly give out your address?
Sure. It's Ed Cummings, C-U-M-M-I-N-G-S, Northampton County Prison. And the address is 666 Walnut Street, number D22, D as in dog, D22, my cell number. And that's in Easton, E-A-S-T-O-N-T-A, 18042. Any words of encouragement anybody can send is, excuse me, helps the day go by. It's extremely boring here. So any cards, notes, letters, jokes, newspaper clippings, anything at all. Magazines and books apparently aren't allowed in because they're, I guess, dangerous.
But so if you work for a publisher, you can send that. Is that correct?
They have to be sent to the law library if it's books. And,
okay.
I'll get them in that case. But thanks for supporting me out there. I appreciate it, everybody, and thanks for coming to visit me.
Okay, we'll see you again in 2 weeks, and also we'll hear from you next week. Take care of that cough. You know, get the best care you can under the situation.
I'll probably call you tomorrow evening regarding that person you said needs to get in touch with me.
Okay, that'd be good.
Thanks again. Good night, everybody.
All right, take care. That's Bernie S. live from Northampton County Prison in Easton, Pennsylvania. I don't know, every week we talk to him, every week it just seems to get more and more disturbing. Boy, Fiber, I don't know, You saw a prison like that, I guess, for a couple of days, right? You saw the hole when they put you away in another part of Pennsylvania. But for the most part, you were in a fairly civilized place. Didn't sound like that. I remember when you used to call in, it was...
It got pretty damn noisy at times, in fact. There were some days when it sounded just like that.
Yeah.
It was a fairly noisy place.
But what was the worst crime somebody was in your camp? They called it a camp where you were. What was the worst crime someone was accused of?
Yeah, ironically, it was called a camp. But one probably some of the worst things that people were in there for were drug-related crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to rate that as being worst.
Mm-hmm.
But on the legal scale, that was probably it.
No murderers.
No admitted murderers. You know, if they murdered anyone, we didn't know if they were, you know.
They kept it to themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfectly possible that somebody could have murdered or raped somebody and, you know, just they didn't get charged for it. No one ever knew.
Unbelievable. Well, we'll keep you updated on this, but as we said before, this will be coming to a head on March 5th, Tuesday, March 5th, 8:30 in the morning, and it's open to the public. So however many people can fit into that courtroom to witness this. You know, there's really not much you can do. It's not a question of who can cheer the loudest or anything like that. In fact, you're not supposed to do that at all. But if you're there, at least you can witness it for yourself and tell people about it. And I think that's almost as important to be able to do. Well, we'll be back again. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to take phone calls and talk about other things going on in this madhouse.
Fog is a fog and draws off a mark. Adults that run from the national front, dropping the short missile coming on top. Oh.
Our telephone number is 212-279-3400. And if you want to write to Bernie S. and you're too lazy to actually write something down with a pen, you can always email to Bernie S. That's B-E-R-N-I-E-S at 2600.com. And we will forward it to him at the earliest possible time. Okay, changing topics here. Very important announcement that we have to make. Very important. I'm sure, Fiverr, you've heard about this. I'm sure you're instrumental in getting word out to people about this very important event, which takes place you don't have to look that mystified. You know what I'm talking about. We all know what we're talking about here.
We do?
Yeah, this is something that happens every 4 years, obviously, because it's leap year. It's that time again. As many of you know, each leap year, the Internet must be shut down for 24 hours in order to allow us to clean it. The cleaning process, which eliminates dead email and inactive FTP, www, and gopher sites, allows for a better working and faster Internet. This year, the cleaning process will take place from 12:01 a.m. Greenwich time on February 29th until 12:01 a.m. Greenwich time on March 1st. During that 24-hour period, five powerful Internet-crawling robots situated around the world will search the Internet and delete any data that they find. Okay, therefore, it's very important that we pass this on to people. In order to protect your valuable data from deletion, we ask that you do the following. Number one, disconnect all terminals and local area networks from their Internet connections. Two, shut down all Internet servers or disconnect them from the Internet. Three, disconnect all disks and hard drives from any connections to the Internet. Four, refrain from connecting any computer to the Internet in any way. We understand the inconvenience. Walter, is there a problem? Are you laughing at something?
It's really inconvenient, actually.
Well, it's very inconvenient, but there's nothing funny about it.
I'm laughing at the inconvenience.
All right. Well,
I have to do all that work, you know.
It's not funny.
It's funny in a bad way.
It's a serious issue here.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Try to refrain from giggling over there.
It's like what's happening to Bernie S. It's so ridiculous. It's funny, but it's a really bad thing.
Well, yeah, I guess it's sort of like that. We understand the inconvenience that this may cause some Internet users, and we apologize. However, we are certain that any inconveniences will be more than made up for by the increased speed and efficiency of the Internet once it has been cleared of electronic... I've never even heard of those words before. I'm not even sure if they're obscene or not, so I'm not going to say them. We thank you for your cooperation. Since the last Internet clean, of course, the number of Internet users has grown dramatically. Please assist us in alerting the public of the upcoming Internet cleaning by posting this message where your users will be able to read it. Please pass this message on to other sysops and Internet users as well. Thank you. And we're going to forward this to every member of America Online. Is that right? Because we know that they'll do our job for us, and they'll help to spread this around everywhere where it belongs. Okay, that's the important announcement for today. And if you have any questions about this, I guess who should they contact?
That's a good question.
The Christian Coalition, I know, can answer some questions on this. The Cyber Angels, they'll be happy to help. And also, I believe various other organizations that have been so helpful to us in the past. Okay, now we have a special feature where we go out on a voyage of discovery. That's what we're here for, right? They won't allow Discovery Magazine into the prison, but we can discover things out here. And one thing we're going to discover, if we can get our dial tone here. Do we have one? There we go. We're going to call a special number, all right? Okay, we're dialing here. This is a number, believe it or not, in the 710 area code. Do you remember what 710 is, Fiber?
Yeah, that's...
710 is that special government.
It's for emergency use by FEMA.
That's right, a special government area code. We've been trying to find out what this area code is all about for years, really, because it's been mentioned several times. Well, guess what? We found a number that actually works. Listen to this. Now, that tone, it wants touch tones. So let's give it some touch tones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and a pound sign. Hey, I think I got somewhere. I'm going to do it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pound sign.
Please re-enter your PIN now.
Re-enter the PIN now. Okay. If I was a PIN, I would be 50.
The call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. 2M2AP.
Well... We got routed to a recording. It tried to make a phone call somehow.
Yep.
Now, what do you think this is? It's hard to repeating recording. I'm going to keep it on just to see what happens to it. Sometimes they recycle. First of all, where's 212-AT, do you know?
8T is, that's a toll office somewhere in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
AT&T.
Okay, so it's using AT&T.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember specifically which toll center 8T is.
Uh-huh. Okay. It has hung up, so it only plays that recording twice, which I guess is good. You know what? I think what we should do, we should get an operator to help us here. Because when in doubt, the operator is the ultimate authority, and they can tell you what something is, how it works, what it's for. You know, we shouldn't be wasting our time here on the radio right now talking about this number we know nothing about when there's an operator, you know, sitting only a few miles away who has all the answers. So let's get back on the telephone here and put a zero in front of this number. Oh, you know what? Put the zero in the wrong place. Okay. Oh, yeah, we'll give out the number, too. Don't worry about that. That way people can hopefully come up with some theories of their own. AT&T is coming online.
AT&T. Please enter your calling card number and PIN or major credit card number and the four-digit expiration date now.
Well, that's new, isn't it?
It's definitely new.
Major credit cards are accepted by AT&T now. What do you know?
This is AT&T. Please say, calling card, person to person, or operator, now.
What if you don't say any... operator, now.
Please hold for operator assistance.
Not bad. It ignored all the stuff I said before. And
AT&T, how may I help you?
Good evening, operator. I'm having some difficulty with this phone number that I'm trying to reach. Can you tell me where it is?
Oh, Mama.
Thank you very much.
That's the Gitz number. Are you on a touchtone phone?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, one moment, okay?
Sir. Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm on a touchtone phone here. AT&T is checking this out for us. Well, while she's checking it out, maybe we should discuss what we're doing.
Talk amongst ourselves.
Well, yeah. Yeah. The number is 710-627-4387.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, you're calling to a government telecom service number. And I'm billing.
Government telecom service number?
You dial 710-627-4387.
That's what I dialed, yes.
Okay. Call it Gitz number, but if I say Gitz, you want to know what I'm talking about.
What is a Gitz number? I'd like to know.
A government emergency telecom service. That's all we know.
A government emergency telephone service?
Telecom. Telecommunication.
I see.
But whatever it is, you don't have. It's we build to this number that we have here, so I can connect you to it. An operator would have had to connect you.
Uh huh.
So that's why you got an operator.
Okay. Do you know where they're located?
I can see if it shows up. Hold on.
Okay.
No, it doesn't show up. That 710 is not area code. Wherever that is, I don't know where it is.
It's like 800, in other words.
Yeah.
It can be anywhere. Do you know how I can find out more information about this? Because this is a very interesting subject to me.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask my supervisor.
Thank you. Very helpful. Don't you think?
She's a lot smarter than the other operator.
What other operator?
The one that told us that it didn't exist.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do that on the air.
Right.
NCS Gitz. Did you know that Gitz stood for Government Emergency?
I wasn't sure what Gitz stood for.
Yeah, but NCS stands for National Communication System. So they got a nice seven-letter acronym there. NCS Gitz. NCS Gitz results, I guess. According to this piece of paper that's been handed to me, National Communication System is located in Northern Virginia, probably in that big building. You know,
there's a lot of big buildings.
Well, the big one, the really, really big one, you know.
What, the five-sided one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Could be in there. I guess it's a good idea to let people know that obviously this is not something to be trifled with.
Yeah, but I would doubt highly that the system is located in any one place.
Well, I'm not saying just wherever it's located. I'm saying because of, you know, who's running it and things
obviously,
like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're putting this on here for informational purposes to to talk about what the system is all about and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we should further caution that this number is not to be used unless in case of a federal emergency.
Now, that's something I'm more interested in. Well, you know, we have to move on, so I don't think we can stay waiting for the supervisor much longer. What we'll do is we'll call back and let them know, or let the listeners know what we're told in the future. That's the 710 story for tonight. Now, we have open phone lines. 212-279-3400 is our telephone number if you want to call in with any kind of question, comment, observation, or what have you. Feel free to do that. 212-279-3400 is our telephone number. Let's take our first call. Good evening. You're on.
All right. Hi, Manuel.
Oh, it's Rebel.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I got back from Florida.
I haven't heard your cheery voice in many weeks.
I've been away in Florida.
Way in Florida, huh?
Right.
I see. Is that by court order, or is that because you wanted to?
No, that's because I wanted to.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Did you get my article?
Yes. In fact, I just opened it a few minutes ago. Perhaps you could discuss it for us.
I can't really elaborate on it because I didn't really read the whole thing. Now,
you just saw the word telephone and you ripped it and sent it to us.
That's exactly. Yeah. Now, the other thing I wanted to tell you is that when I went to Florida, I stopped in North Carolina first on purpose so that I could see what the phones are like there.
Uh-huh.
So I saw the phone company. It's an independent phone company called the Rock Hill Telephone Company in by Charlotte, North Carolina, down going toward Columbia, South Carolina on the road. And you dial 0. Their local operator, and it says local telephone company. It doesn't say Rock Hill. It just says local telephone company. I experienced that out west when I was out there. And when you have them dial an 800 number, the ANI that's passed is not the phone number of where you're calling from. It's the another phone number, but it's when I call the phone number that's passed to them, like when you dial like 1-800, my ANI is, the phone number of where you're calling from is not passed, but another phone number is passed. The phone number that's passed, I called it, and it's their operator service number.
You don't say.
Right, for Rock Hill Telephone Company. Now, when I dialed the carrier access, not the carrier access, the long distance, the default is community long distance, which I guess is their long distance company.
Community long distance, eh?
Right, and Rock Hill, South Carolina.
North Carolina, you said.
I don't know. Was it in South Carolina?
You can't tell the difference between North Carolina and South Carolina?
I was on the border. I actually drove down to Georgia, to Augusta, Georgia, which is another story, because I stayed in a hotel, and in the motel, I dialed 0 for the AT&T 9 and then 10288 for AT&T. They asked me my room number. I gave them my room number on purpose so that I can see what happens. I went to the front desk. AT&T has an automated system that calls the front desk, and I don't know what they say because I didn't hear, but they I guess, say a call was placed by room number such and such, and I guess it tells how much it is and how long they took the time and date.
Did you take any time out to have fun, or were you doing research?
Of course. If I came down to the studio now, you'd see how tan I am.
Yes, I guess that's one of my regrets that I won't get to witness that.
I'll be at the meeting. But the other thing I wanted to say is that in Florida, the mm-hmm. Cocots, the payphones are like Cocots. It's like there's a Bell operating company payphone, but it's like when you dial numbers, it gives you the Cocot voice saying, please deposit 25 cents, you know, that robotic voice.
You do a good job on that, too.
And also, let's see, what else? What else did I discover? I hope to be going out west in a couple of months to San Francisco to see the phones are like out there.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe we could send you, to Australia or something, or maybe Antarctica.
When I finish with the United States phone system, then I'll go out of the country.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, then we must help you as much as we can so that
right.
you can bring back knowledge. And
if you want to buy me a plane ticket there, I'll be happy to go there.
It's worth considering. It is. Well, thank you very much, Rebel, for all the information. And, of course, if anybody wants to hear Rebel speak at the 2600 meeting...
Oh, by
meeting,
the way...
Just show up.
And I want to give out
my Friday
website.
Every month.
My website.
Rebel has a website. Okay,
yeah.
Let's...
Okay. My website, you can see my webpage at www.escape.com. That's the escape system,
ESCAPE.com.
And then the slash, and then the tilde, and then Rebel. The slash is a forward slash, I guess, or however.
Yeah, it's a forward slash.
Yeah, and then tilde, and then Rebel.
Okay.
And then And if you want to email me, send email to rebel@escape.com, ESCAPE.com.
Okay, and there's nothing there that would violate the Communications Decency Act.
In fact, I'm putting pictures of myself and pictures of folks.
Well, that's precisely what I mean.
No. I mean a picture of, like, you know, like what I do, like with phones and how things work and, you know, different, like, payphones and stuff. And by the way, when I made, let's see, what else do I want to say?
Well, okay, I think maybe we've reached the end of this particular informative session, but thanks for calling nonetheless. We'll see you at the meeting the first Friday of the month. Move on to another phone call, 212-279-3400. By the way, this reminds me, during the visit to Bernie, well, I wouldn't say we had an adventure, Walter. We basically were wandering around looking for a place to eat, right?
Yeah.
And it's really sad when you get to go someplace and you realize that that he's stuck, you know, inside the place eating whatever swill they happen to hand out that night. But we were trying to find a payphone so we could call information to see if a particular fast food place that we wanted existed anywhere out there. And so we were looking all over the place. Finally, we drove over this over the bridge to where we saw a payphone, and ran over to the phone. And dialed 411. And guess what? You get James Earl Jones welcoming you to Bell Atlantic. You know, he says, "Welcome to Bell Atlantic." And it's just like the voice of God there on the phone. And you get like 3 rings before you get his voice, and then you get about 10 more rings afterwards. And then finally I got an operator, and I said, "Yeah, I'm looking, you know, for this particular place in Easton." And she's like, "Easton, New Jersey?" And I said, "No, Easton, Pennsylvania. What are you, stupid or something?" I didn't say that. But then she said, "Well, what'd you call New Jersey for?" I said, "I didn't call New Jersey. I just dialed 411. How'd I get someone in New Jersey?" And she said, "Well, there's no way you really could have gotten me unless you're in New Jersey yourself." And then suddenly I realized when we crossed that bridge, we were right at the border, and I had crossed over into New Jersey accidentally. And so
The Delaware River.
Yeah, the Delaware River apparently is right there in Easton. So I apologized profusely, and we went back over the bridge to Pennsylvania, where, guess what? You have to pay 25 cents for information from a payphone.
Right.
Can you believe that? And so I got another operator who was nice, too. The operators like to talk a long time, I've noticed, in these various parts. I talked to an operator in Rhode Island not too long ago, one in New Jersey, one in Pennsylvania, and they all kept me on the phone for about 2 minutes, you know, telling me various things about the area, you know, giving me directions to the place I wanted the phone number for. It was kind of weird. They don't do that in New York. They just want to get you out of there as quickly as possible. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
You know, the last guy just called. Who's a dork, man?
Do I? Well, I mean, come on. We can't go around criticizing our fellow listeners. That's not fair. Is it? I mean, that's our job. That last caller. I don't know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Manual.
Yes, go ahead.
This is more of a question directed to fiber optic.
Okay, well, he's right there.
Okay, fiber. I've just completed, I guess, the first part of installing NetBSD version 1.1.
Okay.
All right, I have everything. I have the file system on the disk. What is the next thing I have to do? What program must I get in order to put the kernel on there to get this unit to boot from the hard drive? I'm looking all around, and I just loaded down the binaries a couple of days ago, and I didn't find any kind of readme or docs along with it.
Unfortunately, you have me at a loss. I'm not. Okay. I don't commonly do NetBSD installations.
All right. That's pretty much all I wanted to get at. Thanks anyway.
Okay. Is there a way we can possibly direct this person someplace? Is there a news group or a website or an organization?
Well, there's certainly news groups. There's probably a couple of dozen that talk about Unix and specifically BSD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be pretty easy to locate them if he had access to an internet service provider.
Well, if he's still installing his operating system, that might be kind of difficult. But otherwise, I guess what he could just search for NetBSD on the web.
Yeah, he could do that.
Okay, well, we wish him luck. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I sent you a message about my phone dying and my radio dying at this time going through a blasting zone on the New York State Thruway. They weren't blasting at the moment, but they were, it was very weird.
Your phone and your radio died?
At the same time.
While you were going through a blasting zone?
Yeah, it was like the weirdest thing. I felt like I was going through the Bermuda Triangle.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, they both came back. And then my phone died. My phone died again periodically. I would, you know, dial my cellular phone, and then I would get like a fast dizzy, but it wasn't even fast dizzy. It was more than that. It was like a like that.
Okay.
Did you notice any missing time or things you couldn't remember?
No, I sort of ruled out the abductee theory, because no, there wasn't any missing time.
What kind of geographic area is this? You weren't going through a tunnel or anything, were you?
No. I was going through like about a 15-mile stretch of the New York State Thruway between Suffern and the Tappan Zee Bridge, and then it remained dead on the other side. And now it's come back. I have no idea why the phone's come back. The radio has not. The radio died, and then it came back for a while, and then it died again. In other words, like I turn on the radio and the little light, you know, it shows the time, it doesn't show the stations, and then I play a tape and it doesn't play the tape, it just plays static through the speaker, so it's not a fuse or anything. So I think something sort of killed my radio and knocked my phone out at the same time, you know, going through that blasting zone. It was like the weirdest thing. But have you guys had any experience with that? I posted, you know, some messages on 2600 and Alt Cellular and stuff like that, but I haven't, you know, heard anything that really... You know,
well, I'd like to know if there are people up there that know the region you're talking about, if they could just drive through a few times to see if similar things happen. I mean, it could be something that just happened to happen to your equipment at that moment. It does seem unusual, I'll grant you that.
So, like, two things sort of go out at the same time.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, I'm crossing the bridge.
What's happening here?
I'm crossing the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
I just did that a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah. How do you like it?
It's a nice bridge. I like it a lot.
It's really nice. Just don't do it during rush hour.
No, or during blizzards either. That doesn't quite work out very well there.
Yeah, but I thought it was quite a strange phenomenon, especially, you know, like when your radio doesn't come in, you think, oh, okay, well, I'll play a tape, and then the tape didn't work either.
Uh-huh. So, it's like your whole stereo system just got sort of fried or something.
Yeah, but there's power going to it, like, the LEDs go on and everything. It's
now,
just,
who is doing the blasting? What are they doing the blasting for?
They're doing, I think they're excavating for a shopping center somewhere in Valley Cottage.
Uh-huh.
And Valley Cottage is, like, around exit 12 off the New York State Thruway. But they're doing the blasting between 11 and 12, you know, 11 a.m. and 12 and noon, like, just for an hour a day. And it wasn't at that time that I was going through. It was during the snowstorm on Wednesday, on Valentine's Day, that this happened. And it happened probably about, you know, 10 or 10:30 in the morning.
And nothing has been the same since, eh?
Nothing has been the same since. My phone has come back. I mean, and it didn't work. It didn't work like as of Friday, and then it started working again on Saturday, and it's worked okay, you know, ever since. So I think that's okay now. But it wouldn't even get 611, you know. So a lot of good 611 is when your phone doesn't work at all.
True.
So, I mean, if your phone works good enough to get 611, then you know.
Well, you know, it can't hurt to bring the phone in and ask somebody what happened to this thing, and maybe they can say you were, you know, you had this intense magnetic beam pointed at you or something. I don't know. Someone with answers that can look at the actual hardware might be very helpful to you.
Yeah. So, in other words, in a blasting zone, they're emitting stuff because they always say turn off two-way radio.
Well, no,
like that.
No, they're afraid that you're going to emit something and affect them.
No, they're afraid that if you're operating radio equipment, that you're going to set off their detonators.
Oh.
That's what they're afraid of.
Yeah, they don't like that.
Unless you were driving through a nuclear testing area, there's no pulse that's going to be generated that's going to knock out electronics equipment.
And then the question is there a nuclear testing area up there in Suffern?
Well, that's what I'm worrying. That's what I'm wondering about. You know, I'm just wondering if there's some, like, top secret thing that's going on that they're not telling us about.
Well, it's not top secret anymore, is it?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people already making some phone calls up there.
Okay, I'm
gonna figure out what's going
I'm
going to
email you personally with my address.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you can mail us here at the show. We have an email address, OTH, for off the hook at 2600.com. So,
great.
That'll get to people affiliated with the show.
Okay, thanks.
Just remember, the truth is out there.
That's
right.
Well, it should be.
You just got to find it.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
I don't know. I've never had anything like that happen to me.
No, I can't say I have either. But although I have heard stories about weird lights in the sky around Stewart Air Base.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, if it happens, you'll hear about it here first. Might be the last thing you ever hear, too. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Whatever happened to that? I'm doing pretty well. Whatever happened to that Atlantic 9X merger?
I think it's still in the works. It hasn't been approved yet, or it's...
I heard that they were hitting a snag and that they were sort of saying, oh, well, we'll dally around in some things together, but we won't get together exactly. So I don't know if you've heard the same thing, but you've heard that it's still on.
As far as I know, it's still on. I've not heard it's been canceled, so I would imagine you'll probably hear something in a month or two.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. The other question was, I understand that PSI actually got back to you guys.
Yes, PSI refunded our money, and the dispute is over.
Did the webpage help at all?
Yes, the webpage, in fact, was instrumental in having them reach that decision. The letter we got, basically, it was kind of funny. They just said, it has come to our attention that you've been having some difficulties. And, of course, this was after they sent us a threatening letter from a lawyer saying they were going to sue us if we didn't take the webpage down.
That was the last thing that I heard, that they were objecting to the fact that you were too close to their trademark.
Well, we changed that because, you know, we didn't want to infringe on their look at all. But they were also upset with the recorded phone calls that we had of their representatives saying something that wasn't true. But, you know, now that it's over, we took the site down. We took that page down on our own behalf. They didn't tell us to do that because it served its purpose. And it's a good show of what power the web has as far as getting word out about something that you want a lot of people to read about.
Now, this was in relation to the fact that you wanted ISDN access to the network, right?
Right, which we have. We've gotten ISDN through another provider. It's not a big deal.
Can you ISDN, share the provider's name?
It's called VillageNet.com.
Okay, and that's in Manhattan?
No, they are in Manhattan now. You know what you do is, you on the net?
Yes, and actually I've been trying to, I know there's Ingress, Skylab, and there's another one that I think DIT, or DTI.
There's
not
a lot
IDT,
of them.
But
there's
DTI.
A lot of them out there. If you do a who is on VillageNet.com, mm-hmm. You'll get a phone number back, and then call that phone number and find out where they are in New York. I'm not sure quite what their
too?
Setup is.
Can I finger them, too? Or?
You should be able to, but who is will get you all the names and
the pertinent information.
Phone numbers and things
it's
like
VillageNet.
That. VillageNet. Yeah, one word, VillageNet.com.
All right. And the last thing is, do you know their pricing at all?
I really couldn't say.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
but it works.
Well, we do the 56K data over voice, no problem whatsoever. Except
right.
for 9X occasionally, but that's not that big a deal.
Well, the big thing is that what they promise Pie in the Sky-wise is that if you run on a 128, if you bond the two together and you run on a 128,
mm-hmm.
that if a call comes in and you have it set up in such a way that it'll knock you automatically down to 56.
Right. No, well, actually 64 if you're at 128.
64, right.
Yeah, Fiber's been doing that for a number of months now.
Oh, yeah, that's a function of your hardware. That has nothing to do with the service you're calling. So long as the
service, they have to support it.
Well, they have to support is multi-link PPP.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The fact that if an incoming call will deallocate one of your channels, that's a function of your hardware, not theirs.
All right. So then, if you're able to have multi-PPP along with your service provider, it should support the fact that if someone calls in you or you pick up the line, it'll knock yourself down to 56.
Yeah, and then when you hang up, it will automatically bring back up the other channel. And likewise, if you make an outgoing call.
That's interesting.
That's a particular feature of the BitSurfer Pro for Motorola, which is what I use.
And not from the BitSurfer period.
No, the BitSurfer period doesn't have multi-link PPP capability.
All right. Well, the other question is, and you would probably know this, Fiber, is if you if you're using a voice call and you're using a data line, I guess the person that would try to contact you then would have a busy signal. Is that right?
No. It all depends on whether or not you have additional call offerings. Which is basically gives you the functionality of call waiting on ISDN.
So you would hear like a call wait, so to speak.
Yeah, the BitSurfer and the BitSurfer Pro simulate call waiting tone.
Well, who's going to hear the call waiting tone if you're online?
Is
that what you're asking?
I think what I'm getting is that if you're on voice line,
if you're on voice,
it'll knock yourself down to 50. If you're not, it'll knock whatever the 128K line is down to 64.
As soon as you pick up the receiver and
right.
you're at 128, it's going to go down to 64.
64, right. right. And then if you're on voice communication, assumedly, if you have it set up like Fiber says, I guess you would hear that, you know, that friendly call waiting tone.
Right, yeah. You would hear that regardless of whether or not you had data calls set up.
Now, any talk on the horizon, because this is what I heard, is that 9X was thinking about dropping the penny-a-minute charge.
I hear at least three rumors a week that has happened, and none of them have panned out yet. Have you heard any?
Oh, yeah, we also heard the rumor that 9X is going to increase their rates.
I didn't hear that rumor.
I think both and neither are true. I mean, unless 9X actually announces it publicly, I'm not going to believe what anybody says, because...
Right.
I've not heard this directly from 9X, and I'm not willing to believe a random rumor floating around.
Well, they were just starting to get the idea that a lot of people, what they were doing was using their hardware to flip the channel so that people were making ISDN line calls 56K, albeit, or 64K, albeit, through the voice line and avoiding the minute.
56.
Yeah,
that's what you'd wind up with is 56.
I'm sorry?
You'd wind up with 56 if you went data over voice.
56.
And you can do bonding as well. And achieve a speed of 112.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. You're saying 56K?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I defy anyone to tell me the difference between 112 and 128.
Probably not much of a difference, especially, but you need a special computer. I mean, a lot of the serial ports only support up to 56K.
That's not true at all. And any serial port that... any computer that you've bought over the past few years can go up to 115, 200.
All right.
And if it can't, you should just go out and buy a serial card for $50.
Right. I was thinking more on the Mongo Max. I know the new UARTs for the PCs go up to 230, actually. And the power PCs go up to 230. But the old Macs and I guess the older PCs can't
go up. Yeah, the older Macs do only go up to 57,600. But you can get a newer, what is it, Nubus? You can get a Nubus card. With serial ports on it.
You always set up an Ethernet port, I guess. The other thing.
Okay, listen, thanks for the phone call. We're going to try to squeeze in one more real quick because we're almost out of time here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that the last caller that was after me, I didn't know what he was talking about. But
All right.
No,
I'm sure many people are after you, but we have to get to another phone call. You've been on already.
Wait a minute. I want to tell you that there are a lot of people removing the handsets on these blue charger call phones, and I'm putting up a picture of that on my website, and I'm also putting up a picture of the funny coin returns on Kokats that you don't push for a coin to get your coin.
Uh-huh.
It's like your quarter. It comes back like one through a slot, like one like coin at a time. What if you're making a long distance call? Like there's five.
You need to speak up. You're fading away. Barely hear you. Speak up a little louder.
I'm going to be putting that up on my.
I can't hear you at all. Let's go to another phone call here. That happens sometimes. People fade away. Good evening. You're on.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, what a week. I mean, we lost two of the great Hollywood actors, McLean Stevenson and Martin Balsam. It's amazing I can dial a phone. But the reason I'm calling you is I would like to know, last week you guys played some music that just really sent me, and I was like, wow. And I just got to know, do you know what the name of the song? You played some song. I think you opened the show.
Oh, you're talking about Folk Implosion. Yes.
Is that what it was?
I had people stopping me on the street asking me what that was. Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yeah, Folk Implosion. They're great. You can find that on the kids soundtrack.
Right.
So,
it's bought then. I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad we were able to help you out. A lot of people were asking about that, so I'm glad we were able to accomplish something. That's it. You have something, Joker?
Yeah.
Make it quick.
More fuel to the fire. At the Internet World Mechlamedia Expo, they had representatives from the ISDN department at 9X, and the word I got from them is they're dropping the penny a minute surcharge.
Okay, so
you didn't get it on paper.
You've just gotten another rumor here.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So now we are officially spreading the rumor, too. Great. All right, when we know officially, we'll certainly let you know, too. Anyway, this is Emmanuel Goldstein for Fiber Optic and the rest of the crew saying good night for now. Why is my theme not coming up now? You see that? It's playing. I have it up, and it's not coming over. This studio is broken. No, that's not right. That button isn't what they're supposed to hit.
Oh, right. No.
See, it's wrong, and our theme is playing now, but we're running out of time. We have no theme tonight, folks. We have to do something else. Housing Notebook is up next. Our theme is playing in the background someplace, but not...
That's fine.
What's why? No, I have Cart 2 up. I have it up. Let's give them an announcement instead. Good night, folks. We'll see you next week.
This is an astonishing work, breathtakingly bold in conception and passionately written, and in its historiographical aspects, convincing. So wrote Princeton University's Institute for Advanced Study about British historian Dr. Martin Bernal's monumental work, Black Athena: The Afro-Asiatic Roots of Classical Civilization. On Friday, February 23rd, beginning at 6 p.m., Dr. Bernal will deliver a rare public lecture at the Martin Luther King Jr. Labor Center, 310 West 43rd Street in Manhattan, near 8th Avenue. He'll then be joined by renowned historians Drs. John Henry Clark and Jan Carew for a lively debate around the theme of Africa's relationship to Greco-Roman culture, modern civilization, and attempts at historical revisionism in academe. For more information, please call 212-330-8277. That's 212-330-8277.
And you were
you're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI-FM in New York City, where the time is 9 o'clock. And in case you haven't heard the news, Pat Buchanan has won the New Hampshire primary, and we'll deal with that in a minute or two. This is Housing Notebook here on WBAI, and in honor of Pat's victory, we will open with something a little different today. And why is it that this... There we go. Why is it that this turntable does not work? Is this... You had a problem... This is what you had a problem with?
Mm-hmm. That's the bad one.
That's the bad one. Nothing works.
Let me try that.
They're all... It says on air, and we hear nothing. Great. Our brand new equipment here that you've all pledged $1 million to. To keep going. Off to a great start here, but we will give you this opening theme in honor of Pat Buchanan, folks, no matter what.
This is WBAI.